Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, 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 this is Chris Switzer, of course. I am your co-host, RTR Truth Media, also known as The Freedom Ministry on BitChute and other social media. I have with us our co-host, Rachel D. Tobias. Please follow her on Twitter, Rachel D. Tobias. Always something witty to say and usually gets me a smile or two, even among this COVID treachery. What's going on, Rachel?
Hey, man, I had a good Thanksgiving. I hope you and your family did as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely enjoyed the, you know, the small stuff in life and tried to be grateful for the things that we do have. How was yours?
It was good. I spent it at my boyfriend's family's place. They had a, you know, like an official dinner and everything. My own family had theirs on Zoom.
Which, okay.
You know, and I kind of, just to keep it brief, I composed myself because one of my aunts said, oh, hopefully things will be next, you know, better next year under the Biden administration. And I didn't say anything because it was just too much to kind of unpack in that moment. So,
yeah.
And then I did get to see some other family later on by going for a walk because some of them feel comfortable being outside with masks on or something. So, you know, at this point, like, I'll see my family when I can. I'm too tired about. When I'm one-on-one, I'll have discussions about things and I'll try to be cordial about it, but it's definitely a lot to take on.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot. People have been indoctrinated to the hilt with this stuff. You're absolutely right. You know, our families and those close to us. I'm not so close physically to my family, so it's almost like, you know, Zoom anyways, you know, but yeah, I totally get it. This COVID stuff has just gone too far. They're really going for broke with this stuff. It's more than I could have ever imagined, to be very honest. And I do study this stuff. It's just wild. Absolutely wild. I was talking to you a little bit about right before we went on the World Economic Forum. Most people that listen to this are probably familiar with it. You're familiar with the World Economic Forum, obviously. They're always just putting it in our faces on that website, and they have something called the Davos Agenda. If anybody's familiar with the Davos Agenda, it is a pioneering mobilization of global leaders to shape the principles, policies, and partnerships needed in this challenging new context. Yeah, the new context that they've created. That's the disgusting part of all this. They act like they're, you know, making the best of a terrible situation when no, they're actually just riding on the heels of their Event 201 planned scamdemic that they all but admitted in October 2019 from Bill and Melinda Gates and all of the disgusting creatures they had there. It's just unbelievable. But this Davos Agenda thing is supposed to kick off between the 25th and 29th of January 2021, for those interested. And it's supposedly an event that's going to take place virtually. And they want you to join the conversation, become a digital member of the world, and participate in this annual summit. I don't know if they're going to do it every year or what's going on here, but the Davos Agenda does not look like anything I want to be a part of. And it also says subscribe to the Great Reset for daily coverage. You know, they're using all these buzzwords that we're talking about. They just throw it right in your face. They don't try to hide any of it anymore. They're just coming right out with the big reset, the lockdowns. You know, get used to it. Nothing's changing. This is the new normal. What do you think about all that?
Well, one, I'm happy that there are certain phrases floating around the public lexicon. I think that's important. I think I saw a video recently where Justin Trudeau is talking about, you know, the Great Reset of Canada and pretty much using all those buzzwords that you described that, quote unquote, President-elect Joe Biden was using. So I'm happy if more people are talking about this kind of thing. It does sound almost like a Bilderberg 2.0, and it kind of gives the illusion that, oh, if you become a virtual member, you're somehow, you know, your voice is being heard and you're part of this. But clearly, that's not really what's going to happen.
Hey, guys.
New. Hey, and I think we do have Tom with us. I was actually going to bring up Tom if you weren't here yourself, but here you are.
here I am. I guess this is my only way to do this, folks, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I've been here for a long time, and I'm grateful to Chris and Rachel. Well, I have a little thing going on here, and I want to put it on the record, and this is the only record I'm going to have a chance to put it on, because I'm not really willing to budge. Over the past couple, several months, I've had some things going on. My friend and I did about $40,000 worth of work for the landlord that we were supposed to have a place to stay, a safe, long-term place to stay. Long story short, the only property that he has that he owes people money, he's put up for sale and then managed to find a buyer and sell out from under us. And instead of being upfront with us and giving us a chance to do our thing and move on, sprung a lot of this stuff on us that we weren't expecting. And now I'm put in a position where I've had an entire case of lies that I can easily prove. And with the knowledge and experience of the law a bit, they played underhanded, dirty tactics. And the underhanded, dirty tactics that were played was right at the crucial time that I needed to start doing filings. I received a call from allegedly somebody in New Jersey who threatened to kill Lori in front of me and then me. I told the court this. They haven't even acknowledged it. Later on, the owner's property manager turned around and threatened to kill me. And that recording was sent into them. They have not addressed it or done anything. And then the landlord requested or filed a motion to lift the stay during appeal, and they granted it because a new judge was there that didn't know anything about the case, had no idea of the background, and I asked the court to get back to me, and so far they have not. So, folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. You guys know me. Where did I go? Bundy Ranch. Where did I go? Oregon Standoff. Well, I have news for these people. Mm-hmm. This may be my last stand. I'm going to tell them that don't send people here that have kids. Because I'm not willing to let a system that can allow this to happen to somebody that has knowledge of the law to win the day. Because if this is happening to me, I want you all to think about this for a second. Really think clear. If this can happen to me, who understands how to file? My father was a judge and lawyer. I understand how the system works. I didn't think for a chance this guy would win against me. And I have knowledge of the law. Think to yourselves. How many people out there that have no idea of the law, that don't have money to hire an attorney because they're already facing eviction, in a system that would build into it, you don't have a right to an attorney to be provided by the courts for this, that can destroy your life and put you in a situation where you have to live by criminality because you have nothing else. Now, that's not going to be me. I had to get this on the record. And folks, I'm sorry to do this on a Sunday and be so negative in some respects, but I'd rather the people that I love the most, which is the people on the other end of the microphone here, and my audience has been there for this, knows me. I've paid my bills. My rent's paid. My obligations are fulfilled. I even got Lori. I managed to do this in the middle of this. We got the house out in Oklahoma, and I put her in it to get her away from here and to clean up the rest. I got my camper here, my Harley here. I got all my tools here. I'm not going to let them take it. I'm just not going to let them. I'm not going to roll over. This is it. This is my line.
I don't blame you, man.
That's my line in the sand. So
is your line in the sand, brother.
Yep, y'all may never hear from me again, or you may read about me in the news, or however it is. I don't know how it's going to be, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let some nitwit out in California send underlings in here to frustrate. Dude, the day before my mandamus was to be filed,
the writ of mandamus. Yep.
My house was robbed of the computer that I was working on it, broken, and my legal files stolen from off my countertop. I told the court. And guess what they did? They found it was prudent to lift the stay and not apparently grant me a continuance as a result. I had witnesses on two sides of me that saw this happen. It's not like I make this up. Two witnesses.
That's what I call lawfare, you know, when they just take it into their own hands, regardless of what, you know, legality there is, regardless of what the law says or what you can put into court. They just move in a way in which they want to move. Well, it's
I call it gangsterism, and it's really a light into the darkness of the system that the system can allow. Now, this is I call it a criminal conspiracy to commit absolute fraud to win. If that's what's going to win in Arizona, well, I'm not going to let it win against me without it taking a bruise, at least. So maybe that will wake people up to see that these justice courts here aren't that at all. They're injustice courts. And by the way, this blows my mind. I just found this out the other day. Justices on this court are not lawyers. They're not trained in the law. They're actually run for this office. They're elected. And they don't require any kind of law training of a degree, you know, of a juris doctorate or anything. So I'm not really surprised when I'm telling them that these things
administrators.
Right. That's yep. You know, presiding over some kind of weird hokey process that only benefits really property owners. And I have a deep respect for private property. Mm. I mean, it's one of the fundamental bases of my belief system is you have the right to these things, you know, but yes. Not the right to use them and wield them. And what I call basically this situation, this landlord whore out your property and then have all of these people do all this work for you. And then you turn around and say, oh, thank you very much. See ya. And get away with that and rip everybody off while you sell it. Nah, not me, man. Not me. So all of you out there, if you feel like helping out, I'm going to be having, I hope I have people coming. I don't know how much I really, this is my decision right now. I'm going to be talking to Ammon at some point when he gets to church. And I just can't involve other people to go to jail or end up hurt out of this. So I really kind of decided not to call people out to help me. Because
that's
I
was just going to ask. You know,
yeah, I don't want.
I was going to ask. You know, do we need a call out? What do you need? I got you, man.
Well, I got a couple guys here helping me move some stuff, and I still have. Maybe if I can get the police over here today and show them page for page. I'll put it to you this way: the landlord used photographs of my neighbor to the left and neighbor to the right to convict me, and my neighbor to the left and my neighbor to the right. Knowing that they could probably get a little bit of heat for doing this, and are willing to testify under oath of this fraud, and they just there's no way for me to get it in, not even a motion. I don't think they can hear it because it's already been a verdict. So I would have to file the appeal that the thieves that came here and robbed my paperwork robbed me of the ability to file on time. See what I'm saying? They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the timing that they were doing it. They knew exactly. And here's the thing: I'm alone. I sent Lori out of here. At least when Lori was here, they wouldn't have been able to make it through the door to do that. But the threat, see, they know, this is how I know it has to be the people that know me. I mean, and this landlord knows me. We spoke about a lot of these things before we became antagonists toward one another. So he knows my routine. He knows the things that trigger me. He actually triggered Lori once into a really bad state of mind. Called her right after he spoke to me. He has no business calling Lori. Matter of fact, in court said she's not on the lease, on a fraudulent lease. Dude, I can't even, the steps in this case are mind-blowing of the crimes that was committed. This is a criminal conspiracy.
I think we have Patricia in Florida has some advice for you, Tom.
Good,
you want to bring her on?
Please, yeah, bring her on, because I have to do, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Use the show to
I don't
do
know
it,
if
man.
This will help you, and I'm not sure how the laws are in your state. Here in Florida, you can file a mechanic's lien before the closing. You said they put it up for sale.
Yes, yeah,
you
true.
Can actually file that. What?
I know, Patricia. I know about that. And you know, while the landlord, while I thought he was a good guy, my partner in this wanted to file a mechanic's lien because he was kind of being heavy with him. And I stepped in to be the peacemaker, and I talked him out of filing the lien. And now the eviction is going to be served tomorrow morning. I have no time for the mechanics lien because while I'm at the court, they would be locking me out of the property, and then I'd be.
I don't think they can lock you out instantly. You usually have at least 24 hours.
No, that's now, what you don't understand is the way this was filed and the verdict that he got. I went through Thanksgiving, and then it was Saturday and Sunday. It's a matter of days here. They don't go by business days here. They go by days, and the day of the service of the lockout is tomorrow morning. And it's Sunday today, so courts are closed. Courts were closed yesterday. this is the problem that I they knew. It seems like they knew exactly when to do this, exactly when to drop this, so that I would have absolutely no time sports to do anything. I can even to file the mechanics lien. If I go and file the mechanics lien, which there's things about that that the evidence that I needed, by the way, part of which was stolen out of here, I didn't have duplicate copies of. I did have duplicate copies of the case, so I could continue to prepare for it, hoping that they'll hear my motions that I'm filing today in the court. I'm hoping that they'll read them in the morning and they'll put a stop to this. But we don't have time now for the mechanics lien.
Your stuff out today? Can you get your stuff?
That's what I've been working on, dear. I'm dealing with a friend that's ill, and I'm disabled, and it's the two of us. So we're doing the best we can. There's not enough people.
Hire some high
that.
School kids to help you carry. Just get it out and safe, because I lost my whole house and everything in it because I was mistaken.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
Get your stuff out. Find some kids, kids to help you.
Yeah, the missionaries came and helped me a little bit, and I haven't been able to get a hold of them Sunday today too. But there's not the finances in. I just put Lori in a house in another state. I got her to safety here.
Well, God bless you. I'll be praying for you.
That's what I need.
Go to a church. There's churches that worship on Saturdays that would have people in your neighborhood, probably. I don't know what state you're in, but they would come and help you.
I'm in Arizona. The missionaries have helped a bunch. I got to thank the church there for the folks that are out here. I got people involved too late because I didn't want to get people involved.
That was my problem. I didn't want to wake my kids up when I realized after I stayed up all night calling to find out if they were going to stand down like they did the week before. I couldn't get hold of anybody. And anyway, that's the problem. So get your valuable
I really appreciate you, though. Trisha, thank you very much. I really do appreciate you. If you guys, if anybody out there wants to help, I've exhausted myself financially. I hate to admit that, but Lori's safe. She's in another state. You can go to the website, rtrtruthmedia.com.
Yeah, that's the problem is that they, I think they realize that, you know, people are genuinely nice and genuinely good people. Like real people out there, you know, like you and me and our audience for the most part, I'm sure. But what most probably do not realize, as you and I now realize, is that these men and women who control these courts and these judicial systems are not quite the same as us. They don't have empathy, sympathy, compassion. There's none of that. It is just cold, calloused, calculated mythology. Methodology, I should say, excuse me, how they move, how they act, what they do. It's all designed to just, you know, take, and provide more revenue, you know, for the municipalities. And, you know, who cares who gets hurt along the way? That's just a byproduct, I guess.
Tom, there's a guy. There's a guy I follow called Legal Man on Twitter, and he talks about this, like, even with the elections and everything, the courts are not really a real option for most people. They're not designed to be. No. You know, it just gives people kind of the illusion that they have some say or some control. But if the state, like, you know, can come after you, usually sometimes criminal cases, it'll say like you versus the state. You're like, what? Yeah. Who's the victim? Or they can do all kinds of things to delay trials. And New York passed something this year that was like, or maybe it was last year that was like, they can delay trials until they find more evidence.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. To tell you the how this got filed the way it did. All right. I had gone all summer without an air conditioner that the landlord is. He's required by law to provide the air conditioner. He's required by law to fix the hole in my roof that the storm blew off. He hasn't done any of the things he was supposed to do. I asked him for his legal address because he had in Arizona. I know the law. I read the law back and forth, the Landlord-Tenant Act. The landlords are required to have an in-state if he lives out of state. An in-state. Kill that commercial. I don't have time for commercials right now. I'm fighting for my life. Thank you. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. I apologize to the sponsors, and I apologize to John Statmiller for this, but I'm down to the wire here. All right. So this is what he did. It's COVID. They have the moratorium. I have mixed emotions about the moratorium. I have mixed emotions about all of it because government created this problem to begin with. But that's another story for another day. Because of COVID, I would have probably been protected because what he did was he told me 1 month that to use the, or that he would pay for it on his credit card, the air conditioner, to go ahead and pay the rent. So I did that. I called him the next day and he said he can't put it on his card. So there's another month without air conditioning. That was deliberate. All right. So the final month, he says, just use the rent to pay for the air conditioner. Okay, I did. So, the air conditioner wasn't even delivered. It wasn't even out of the box yet on my porch when I received a notice in the mail of failure to pay or vacate. He wanted me not only to have paid for the air conditioner that he didn't pay for, but he wanted me to now pay for the rent that he told me to pay the air conditioner with. And I said, well, this is a slam dunk case. In Arizona state law, if he does that, he's in violation of the law. So that's the end of this case because, well, no, it wasn't. Apparently, the judge just didn't register in his head that I had evidence from a year ago of an email that I sent him that the air conditioner needed to be replaced, or all these other messages in which he told me to do this and told me to do that, and then fraudulently filed this case to begin with. But what the judge allowed him to do was come in with a slew of mountain of complaints that he never sent me legal notice for, never gave me opportunity, because when they have a complaint with you, they're supposed to give you that notice and give you so many days to remedy that problem. None of these complaints that he made, any remedies. He said that the project that he ordered us to do, that we did, that his insurance company required, he sent a photograph of it and said, this is evidence of the defendant's illegal, unauthorized construction on my property. I kid you not. That's how fraudulent of evidence this man is using.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this really, that blew my mind. Even in my dad was a judge, and I saw a lot of messed up things. I haven't seen stuff that blatant. My dad would have put the brakes on that. He'd have gotten his car. He would have went out to the property, and he would have put his eyes on it himself. But judges don't do that anymore, I guess. He wouldn't have allowed somebody to be torpedoed on the allegation of such a absolute abject fraud. I could not believe that this was had gone any further than that. I thought, this is it. I win. So much for that. By the way, I mentioned, if people want to help, I had to take a deep breath for a minute. I have a PayPal, rtrtruthmedia.com. You know what, guys? I don't ask a lot. As a matter of fact, I can count the times on one hand how many times I've asked you for help, I think even this year. Probably, and have fingers to spare. Right now, we're in our final hour. Yes, I do need to hire people. Yes, I do need to try and save my stuff. I could use the help. And that's the only thing I'm going to say about it. rtrtruthmedia.com. I have a PayPal button on the right. If it doesn't work, because PayPal sometimes likes to play funny business, it's tomlacavera@gmail.com on PayPal. You can do that. I also have the Cash App. You can call into the board operator. He'll tell you how to communicate with me on the back end. If you need to do that, that's fine. But right now, I spent everything that I had getting Lori to safety when this guy threatened to kill her. I'm not going to let that happen. I had to take the threat seriously. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I had to expect that it would, because I wouldn't be able to live myself if something happened to her. I spent my time and my effort focused on protecting her first, and unfortunately, here we are. So, this is how fraudulent this entire case is. My mind is blown. I mean, I know the system's messed up. Don't get me wrong. Why are we here, right? Ooh.
Exactly. Of course. And you got to take the threat seriously when he's railroading you through court, all this other funny stuff's going on. Obviously, the guy is malicious. So
either I wanted to believe that, because he's old and he's alleges he's got cancer and all this. So he's got these underlings that I call them underlings kind of nefariously, because they're acting. They broke the law so many times. When they first got the verdict against me, that doesn't change the law, by the way. They still, if they're going to come out before the eviction is served, they have to give 48 hours notice. They have to inform both myself and the tenant next door. Well, they got the verdict, and here comes this lady just traipsing onto the property, walking behind the buildings, taking pictures. Here's the funny thing about it. She took a video trespassing all over the place, criminal trespass all over the place, and used snapshots from that video of my neighbor's yards against me and not my property at all. And illegally obtained it's illegally obtained footage that she used proving that she criminally trespassed in the discovery. I don't know how much blatant you can get that. Your Honor, can you please tell me how this person got these photographs? I can't even ask a question. Filing motions that apparently are useless. I can't even explain it, dude. It's so mind blowing. It's so outrageous. It is the most outrageous case of landlord tenant issues that I've ever heard about or seen. This case is obscene. The case is literally a criminal
conspiracy to
defraud somebody. Literally. I mean, you have you have two or more people, and a lot more than that, engaged in committing a crime, which is lying on the court record to get a verdict that you want, and to destroy somebody's life, but they're not going to manage to do, I guess the other part of the system will have to do that, because I'm just not willing to fucking, not willing to budge. Not another inch. Not willing. This you know, I understand where Mr. Bundy was. I understand. You know what? For those of you out there that you called me, oh, he broke this law and he broke that. You know what? Forget the law. There is no law. If there is no law, if I can't invoke the law, but another person can, where's the equality law? Get this. During my hearing, my landlord was allowed to call witnesses. When it came my turn to call witnesses, the judge decided he was going to make an offer in this case. He says to me, Mr. Lacavara, are you willing to move out in 30 days? And that was without the eviction on my record. I said, you know what? Just to get out of this, just to get away from this situation, yes, Your Honor, I'm willing. He looked over the plaintiff and said, are you willing to? No, I want him out in 5 days. At that point, if he would have given me the 30 days, I would have been gone, get this, 2 months ago, lawfully. And agreeably, and I would have had the 30 days to make my arrangements, focusing on nothing but making those arrangements, not fighting for my life. Instead of that, I had to file an appeal, which kept me in the place for 2 months longer of fighting and filing motions instead of focusing on taking care of moving my property to my house that I have now that I can't even make it to because now I'm out of money. I can't even move my property. So here's the thing, folks. I believe 150% in private property rights. I do. Now, when you rent your property out to someone else, you're agreeing to allowing them to be essentially the interim property owner in a way. They're buying those rights from you, right? So my private property that I'm about to lose because of his lies, you know how much I believe in private property rights? Come and take it. I hope you don't have kids. Yeah, and you know what? They take that as a threat. Take it to the bank. How about that? Because I'm not willing.
They make threats all the time.
I'm not any longer willing to put my faith in a system that can allow this kind of fraud. You know what? I'm outraged. I'm not even outraged for me. If I could walk away from this right now, I'd still come back and I'd still fight and I'd still, because you know, if this can happen to me, imagine the mothers out there with their kids. This is how obscene it is. Because of COVID, right? Any financial complaints, they were given a moratorium on. So even this case wouldn't be able to be heard until just now, when they lifted it. This guy being so worried about that, he was talking back and forth to me. The tenant next across the way he was trying to get on his side actually told him what to say on the court record. And he wants desperately to tell the judge these things and all the things that he's seen. But guess what? The day of the hearing, they wouldn't let any witnesses testify on my behalf. I had a property owner. If he respects property owners so much, a property owner and a tenant in the place where I'm talking about, willing to testify for me, and because the guy said no, I'm not going to give him 30 days. He said, I said, all right. Well, I know what he was thinking. He's thinking, I know the law. I can file an appeal and whatever. Give me a little extra time. I don't think that even the judge could, even in that system, could fathom what this guy did, knowing that his complaint was a financially based complaint and just finding out about the moratorium. This just happened at that time that it was issued, right around that time. He knew that his original initial complaint would be given a stay of. So that's why he piled on taking photographs of the neighbor's yard that might have been in non-compliance, or the neighbor that he didn't even own the property of has a bunch of steel and stuff. He took pictures of that and used that because they were non-financial complaints. Because they were non-financial complaints, the judge could hear that and he could do whatever. That's how evil this person is. So during a pandemic, is putting a disabled dude out who has literally worked for him that he owes money to. I really didn't even owe him rent. I only paid the rent because he said if we didn't pay it, he'd leave the place. We'd end up without the place to live anyway. He owed us 6 months free rent, 6 months at 50%, and the rest of the term that we have on our lease, which we were supposed to get 3-year leases that he never provided. I just insanity. And you know what? This guy, not only he's a Democrat, a liberal. Get this, in the discovery that was just given to the court to lift the stay was my involvement in the Bundy Ranch. By the way, they are literally defending a position of prosecutors who were found guilty of Brady and Giglio violations of, get this, with willfully withholding exculpatory evidence. And just lying to the court. They wonder why they're defending those people, right? And in Oregon, 17 people in a jury of their peers in a liberal district in Oregon were found not guilty. My friend gets shot in the back and killed. And these people are defending that position as if I'm some sort of terrorist threat.
Sure.
You know what? I may be a threat because they're making me. They are creating the threat because I won't be pushed around anymore. I won't. I'm done. I'm done being pushed around. So I would submit to the record, if you never hear my voice again, that I tried to do everything in my power to be peaceful and compliant and do everything that I could do in the process. But the process not only failed, it is propping up and strengthening a criminal conspiracy. I'm not going to, as far as I'm concerned, I took a note. And whether or not you guys can criticize me about it later, because I really don't like government at all anymore, I took a note to support and defend the Constitution against the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. A domestic enemy will assault your laws, will benefit and profit from. It's a Solinsky, what Solinsky planned. Use the system against itself to destroy it. Well, I don't know if it's a communist or not, but I do know that they used the law against itself and against against me to deprive me of my private property. So I was sitting there thinking the other night. I said, you know, this is, you know, it's a rental, it's a private property. I don't really agree with the whole COVID thing, and I don't know how I feel about all that. But you know what? Hey, wait a minute. I'm about to lose my private property. My life is part of my private property. And if the government, who was created to defend these rights, is not defending those rights, as far as I'm concerned, any order by said government is null and void. So that's where I'm operating.
Yeah.
I'm just that's where I'm at now. I'm so
This is all too familiar. Yeah. Isn't this all too familiar? It's like that the fake war on terrorism. They create the terrorists, you know, by destroying their land and fighting these Zionist wars off in countries we shouldn't be in. And the locals, the people that live there, they're the ones that get the worst of it. They get the brunt of it. And then they're the new terrorists, you know, that they come out of this.
And these brainwashed, oh my God, these brainwashed, indoctrinated people that I know mean well. There's this guy who has a YouTube channel that Brian Young kind of ran into conflict with. And you know, when you listen to this guy, I understand the position he's coming from, right? His name's Douglas Ducati Sr. He's prior military and you know, he's one of those good government kind of guys. And you know, I don't know how he doesn't see this stuff. This is right here is an example that he would be outraged in this situation, but then he would turn around with this doublethink that they programmed us into and respect law enforcement when they come out to serve an order that is based on absolute fraud. But he still respect blue, right? You know, how can you respect order followers that will be complicit in enforcing what you can? If I laid this out to them, if they were standing on my porch, right? Say the constable comes. This is what I'm going to try. I'm going to say, look, this is the evidence that was used against me. Here's the photograph. It's really close to my property. But officer, how about check this out? Does this look like it's my property? No. And if you can say no, that's the first complaint. You see this officer that was fixed over there? That he's complaining was illegal. And okay, so if it's illegal and fraudulent, I should be able to tear the entire front of that off, right? Because I put it there, right? Oh, but he won't let me do that because his insurance company ordered it and he ordered me to do it. So I tell you what, officer, if you can enforce that, if you can enforce this eviction, knowing now that you've seen a witness of a crime, perjury, criminal conspiracy, if you can enforce that, come and take it. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, there's the law of conscience. You know, that's how I feel. At some point, that's got to come in. If it doesn't, what are you doing? You know?
But yeah.
If you're a law enforcement guy.
Yeah, why am I even here? Because I've been defending these rights with every ounce of energy I had. Outraged at one injustice over another. That's why I do what I do. You, for people, for those of you that don't believe that any of these false flags or conspiracy theories or government could be any involved in this, let something like this happen to you, and then look at your view of good government bullshit, and tell me if you can still swallow that poison, because I tell you, if there is no better example to me than living through it myself, these judges and these other good government people that if you suggest that maybe a foreign nation that have interests of their own and don't want to expend their own. Look, folks, I don't hate anyone. Rachel, I use you as an example. I'm sorry. Don't be offended. Here's Rachel, born and raised in an Orthodox Jewish family. And I love her. because she saw the trap, the ideology, the people using man-made ideologies against each other to do stupid things. She understands. Well, if I'm anti-Semitic, how come I can love her? Because apparently these people think that I hate them just because they who they are. That they're just not what they do, but who they are. It blows my mind. I can't even, it doesn't compute. Rachel, do you understand where I'm coming with that?
Yeah, I mean, people are responsible for their choices that they make. Right.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that all choices are, you know, like, you're recognizing basically that the system tells us our only means of recourse is through their system. It doesn't really work that way, and it's not meant to work that way. And the state has infinite resources to use against you and basically just drag things out until you can't afford it anymore.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
that's,
what's happened
that's
here.
One way. Like, I think it was Buffalo, New York. There's a gym owner that got a $15,000 fine from the state. And I mean, yeah, whenever I see like a Back the Blue rally and everything, it's one thing to support veterans and people. It's one thing to support the people in of themselves and to say, hey, I want to help my fellow person or whatever. But it's another to have Stockholm syndrome and chase these police like they're heroes because they'll do what they get paid to do.
Yeah,
and they're not there. They took an oath, but they're there to support the system, their code enforcement, whatever that code happens to be, which is why it's so funny when people on the left are upset if police don't enforce Corona code while simultaneously saying, hey, Nazis following orders is no excuse.
Right? Schizophrenic thinking. Sorry, my friend is helping me. Oh, never mind. I want to talk about that. Schizophrenic thinking. This is like the Douglas Ducatis of the world. I love the passion that he has for the reason that he has the passion, right? I get it. There's a sense of honor in him that he wants to believe in the system that we've all been taught to believe in. But at the end of the day, even the Douglas Ducatis of the world have to realize that part of the reason why you're so pissed off half the time is because of the inherent evil in the system built within the system itself. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's the system that divides us so that we don't overthrow the system.
Why would they allow for any loopholes?
Right.
Why would they allow for any chances of, you know, people basically taking advantage of any vulnerabilities if they're trying to maintain their power? They're going to try to not have any. And it seems like we have a caller.
We do. Let me illustrate this one. What you kind of just said in a micro environment real quick before we take this caller. Why would they have it in the Arizona revised statutes that if a landlord doesn't provide these services, he's in violation of the law? And if he tries to force you to do work that's not your responsibility, it's against the law. And that you can't let somebody go without air conditioning, especially a disabled man during a pandemic. It's against the law. Why do these laws exist? And when you bring it to the court's attention that they violated these laws. And by the way, there's the final caveat. I asked him for his legal address for the 2 months leading up to this because he was about to be the defendant. He wouldn't give it to me. I had no way of filing legally against him. And then all of a sudden I get filed against. I told the judge this. I could prove all of this because it's in text messages. He read his text messages, but mine apparently didn't exist. So anyway, caller. Whew, man.
Hello there.
Yes, we have, I believe, Scott in New York.
Yeah,
what's
Scott.
Up, Scott?
Oh, Scott.
Yes, sounds like you're having a bit of an issue there. I could point out a couple of flaws that may be able to help you. One is you're in their case. You got to be in your own case where they're the defendant and you're the plaintiff. So whatever you're doing, calling the guy a judge, you're in their case and they can't hear you. Do you have any representation? Or are you there
I don't need
by
it.
Yourself?
I don't need it. I followed every step that any lawyer would have here done except one. Except one. When I was getting ready to take it and put my ball in their court, just as you're saying, I was burglarized and I had all of my court paperwork and my filings, my motions, everything that I had worked on preparing my case stolen the day before my mandamus was due. So now I was going to file a mandamus, but it wasn't just the mandamus that I was going to file. I was going to file the mandamus and I was going to file my own case, right? I was ready to file my own case, bring it to them. And all of my paperwork, imagine that, because it's the only thing that these people stole. So I'm sure it wasn't anybody representing the landlord that did this because, you know, I had other things here of much higher value than paperwork with black ink on it that meant nothing to them, right? So of course, this was just, you know, an accident that they happened to get this stuff, right? All of that stuff was wiped out. I could have handled it. Yeah, if I had hired a lawyer,
what
he would have had it
in the office.
Arizona. A lawyer's not an option for
me. All right, well, here's a few. Let me point out a few things that may be of some help. Number one, you were mentioning that you were answering to Mister. If they're calling you Mister, they're not hearing you. Okay, you're just a dead entity, and you're not hearing any. They're not going to look at your paperwork. So, number one, you have to get something where you're the plaintiff, where you're putting the particularity, who, what, where, when, and how, where your evidence is here. It's not that you're in their case trying to be heard when they're not hearing you. Number two, you have possession of the house. Get some tenants in there. Get some friends in there. Wreck the house. Destroy the plumbing. Destroy the electric. Destroy the roof.
No,
give them notice.
I got to stop you there. I got to stop you there, though. But here's the thing. I'm not willing to sacrifice my morals to win any case.
It's as not far your as I'm morals, concerned, I would. And they're being heard, and you're not. Again, it comes down to making complaints. You can make bar complaints and grievances against all the bar members involved, including the judge. And you have to find out where the man is in order to serve him. You could just serve him at his office. You may not need to subpoena him if he has an office. He's a realtor. That may be good enough.
I understand what you're saying. Here's my issue right now. Okay, so you
and
know where I am.
One more thing I want to add.
Go ahead.
The last thing is that it's a trick to get you to leave the premise. It works on the factor of fear and the sheriff is coming in 72 hours. But once you walk away, you're leaving the battlefield and they're allowed to change the locks. So they can come in and take your stuff and put it in storage. But as long as you do not leave, you can be all respectful. Thank you for coming. I'm not leaving. That is where you win. You don't leave the battlefield. You have to stay there. They try to get you to leave on your
own. What do you think I'm telling everybody? I'm not leaving.
Anyway, if you want to reach out to me, you're welcome to reach out to me. And I'll provide some more ideas and stuff if you would like.
Sure, yeah, board off. Can you take this number down for me?
Who's the engineer, Mike or Ken? I didn't catch who it was today.
I think it's Mike. That's Ken.
Okay, Mike, you know me. I call it enough. Anyway, you're welcome to take my information, or just give me your email and I'll write it down.
Ken, that's how messed up I am, Ken. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll tell you what, folks, I what the man just
thanks
said.
Thanks for calling, Scott. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. I can hear it. He wants to help, man. He really does. But here's the problem. Today's Sunday, right? The enforcement is tomorrow. So basically, I have a chance at, if I wanted to do this the official way, to get it in there and not just deal with the constable when he comes. I have a chance at maybe getting a judge to read some of my motions. Or my other option is, I stand my ground because I know that I didn't do these things. And I know that this is all fraudulent. Essentially the case is no, you can't have your rights abjectly just completely ignored and violated and have a case to be valid. So it's not a valid case. And the judge that reviewed the plaintiff's motion had no part to it. He didn't have any back history or back knowledge. They didn't take my disability into greater enough consideration because my disability is also a key in their world, so they say. I don't really like that, to use that, but it is a factor, allegedly, in their world, in that throughout the middle of this, I had a couple medical episodes right around the time that I was robbed. Gee, I wonder why that happened. But, anyway, making a long story short, I waited until my final. I was going to come on last week and share this with you, and maybe I should have, because I still had time. I tried doing it legally, the best way that I could do it. And in their world, Lori kind of warned me, and I hate to tell her, she told me so. I really just wanted to try. And there's a reason why I wanted to do it this way. I wanted to test the system for myself and kind of be that crash test dummy so that I knew that this system that was stacked up was going to stack up against all these other people. When I make this stand, if I make the stand the way I'm intending to, I'm not making it for myself, man, because at the end of the day, Tom has a house to go to, but to do that, to just leave, I would have to be leaving with slander, libel against me that wins the day. I'd have to be willing to have my private property removed from me because I have no way of getting it there. Just quick, I got as much as I could there, but nowhere. If it was a pencil, I'm not willing to give it up at this point, not on fraud. Not on a criminal conspiracy to fraud. Not happening. Not as long as I have breath in my lungs. So I hope they don't Bill Cooper me in my yard, but hey, it might happen.
Mm.
It might happen.
that's what Scott was trying to, I guess, I believe, say that he kind of got to flip it on its head. So yeah. Obviously you're not, you know, being the defendant and well, that sort of thing.
I didn't want to
flip it around, but I realized the time is,
well,
you know, quite a factor.
You said to that, unfortunately, I have to use the system a little bit to do this. I can, but see, I haven't had great success with this in the past. The sheriff here is supposedly a stand-up guy. I haven't been able to reach him. I called and I tried to talk to him, and they wouldn't put me through to him. And I probably for good reason, because if he would have heard this, he probably would have had to do something. But I'm going to call the sheriff out here today, and I'm going to put my evidence in front of him. And now, if what they say is true, they're not here to protect us, right? But they have to enforce the law, right? So here's Arizona Revised Statute 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Here are the violations, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They are about to commit another crime. They've already committed all of these other crimes. So I submit that if I inform the sheriff of this and the sheriff allows this to go forward, that he's part of the criminal conspiracy too, because he didn't enforce the law.
Right.
So I hope that they do enforce the law. I hope that I find that the sheriff that comes out here is reasonable enough to know that he took an oath that is higher than the orders that he may receive in other places. And I hope that he recognizes the fact that there are criminal conspiracies been committed here to do this. And I hope he acts. I hope a lot of things. I'm not going to bet my life on it. Well, maybe I kind of sort of am, because I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to go quietly into just sulk off. I'm not going to do it. I refuse. And if I have to tell the constables when they come here to serve it, I'll even make a deal with them. You have the judge call me and let me have a conversation with the judge. You can call the plaintiff, because I don't want to break any of your rules of court or whatever. And have your honor. I would love for the judge just to say to the plaintiff, can you prove any of this stuff that you say, instead of just saying it and accepting it as proof? Can you prove any of it? He won't be able to. There's no way that he can prove what he alleged, and all he made were allegations. And I had witnesses to refute them. When you deny somebody their due process rights to be able to refute them, the case is null. I shouldn't have to file an appeal in a case where the judge violated my rights. I shouldn't have to do that. Somebody should step in and say, hey, where's his witnesses? They were right there. Not only that, but the landlord sent his minions out to my witness's house trying to instigate an argument between my witness and myself. I don't know how much more perverted this entire case could be.
Mm.
I mean, they are literally allowing threats of death, intimidation, violence, a witness tampering. I mean, you name it, and this case has it. I'm not making this stuff up, man. I have witnesses, property owners,
yeah,
that don't really want to get involved, but are so outraged that they are willing to. I don't know what more.
Yeah, and
if that can stack them, can you imagine, Chris, Rachel, can you imagine the amount of people that are being thrown out and being tossed around,
yeah,
that don't know about, don't know how to argue this?
Absolutely.
That's why I'm making this stand. I'm not even doing it for me anymore. I haven't been doing it for me for the past couple weeks. It blows my mind the amount of people that are being affected by this. I can't sleep at night with myself if I walk away from this. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're going to hear any of your evidence until you get it in, into a separate, you know, a separate docket, if you will. Yeah. And even then, you know, it's playing in their wheelhouse, obviously.
Too late at that point, though. Because I'll probably...
No,
probably
I'm saying it would be separate, obviously.
I get it, but there's no time for that. So it will probably be reviewed post-mortem. That's what's going to happen.
Mm.
You know how they come, man. They don't come. The government is forced.
Of course.
You don't do what they tell you, they'll kill you. And that's what it comes down to. Because I'm not leaving, so what are they going to do? They're going to try and arrest me. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's an unlawful arrest. That's a kidnapping. I have a right to my life. I have a right to my life, and crimes not being committed against me to preserve my life. So what do you think I'm going to do, Chris? You know me.
Yeah, of course. You're going to stand your ground like you did at the Bundy Ranch.
Sentenced to death. That I want people to realize something right now. I have literally, by fraud, been sentenced to death, because I am unwilling to allow my rights to be stolen from me in the face of the court. That's where I'm at. That's how serious the situation is. I want people to realize this, because if I don't ever talk to you guys again, here's evidence right here. We put on the record. I'm telling you, I can prove every single thing that I say. I would do anything that I could, man, to humiliate myself if I'd be lying to you. I don't know what that could be, but hell. Mm-hmm. Anybody that wants to come forward and review my evidence all comes to the same conclusion. They can't not come to that conclusion. Because if you come out and look at the property here and you see the photographic evidence that they're lined up that they illegally obtained, by the way, none of it matches my house. None of it. Not one bit. They took a trespassing. They took a picture of the bad air conditioner that's in the back of the house as proof that I didn't replace it. The eviction order came. The new one wasn't out of the box yet. Of course it wasn't replaced. Do you think I was going to give them? Oh, yeah, I'm going to let you kick me out of the house and I'm going to give you a $600 air conditioner that you told me to pay for while you're also demanding that I pay you the rent that you told me to use to pay for it. Get out of here. You're out of your mind. But that photograph of the old air conditioner sitting in the wall is evidence of what? That you illegally obtained. Of what? That I didn't replace it? Then he timed this. He could not have timed this. It tells me that whoever is pulling the handles for him have done this so many times that they know exactly what timing to use.
Was what I was going to suggest. It sounds like this was kind of a planned thing that he put into motion several months ago, you know, knowing that this is his plan of action.
Yep. I submit that this is absolutely what makes this a criminal conspiracy. It's not just a landlord fabricating evidence to effect an objective. This is at least three or four people involved, at least as principals in this. Three or more people engaged in a conspiracy to commit fraud, to destroy a man's life, to evict him illegally because they're using fabricated evidence. I'm looking at the hole in my porch roof that's been there for over a year that he's supposedly required by law to fix. Look, I wasn't trying to break his stones because he told me he was broke. He told me he was broke, but get this, man. I had a leak under the sink right before all this was happening. I had a leak under the sink here, and the vanity was going. I said, look, if you prove it, you'll pay for it. I'll fix it, and I'll fix it for a lot cheaper. Like, I'm trying here to work with you in the final hour here. He sends a contractor over instead. First, he threatens to use a guy that my wife is scared of, and he knows that she's scared of, and my wife has issues from her past that you don't do that to her. You just don't, okay? You don't do that. So he knows that that's my hot button issue. And that's why on all days, check this out. What's the hardest day of my life that you know of, Chris, in September?
Yes.
That's the day they used to threaten her. They threatened her on September 11th, the worst day of every day in every year that I'll have. They used that day to threaten Lori's life. And then when I called him up, he said, this is elder abuse. You're threatening me. I had nothing to do with that. I said, Gary, my number is not published. I'm a radio talk show host. My phone doesn't go off unless somebody gives somebody my number. The guy had your number. He's using your name, and he's threatening me. If I don't get off your property, he's going to do my wife in front of me, dude. Don't tell me you don't know who it is, and I'll go. I want this on the record, too. I set the caller up.
Filthy.
Not only did I record that call, but I set the caller up. I called Gary back and I said, you know what? You're the property owner, so I have a duty to inform you that I now have armed security in place. I use this language very carefully. Armed security in place. An hour later, this thug caller that he doesn't know, that he doesn't support or condone his behavior, calls me up and says this, the exact words, armed security in place, my ass. I'm across the street and I can see you and you're lying. I said, thank you. Thank you for telling me that he's aware of who you are and having conversations with you, or at least somebody in the room with him. Because you just now told me, proved to me, beyond a shred of a doubt, whether it's to the court or not, to me, and I was willing to go in there and put an affidavit of truth. I explained this. I did do this. An affidavit of truth that my life has been threatened and that I can prove who done it. All I need is it investigated. I called the police. I called the 911. And the sheriff said they'll be out. Guess what? They didn't even show up. They never even came out. I put it on the court record. So what they are doing is they are setting a precedent in Arizona that as a property owner, all you need to do is go find some drug addict somewhere, pay him a couple $100 to harass the crap out of you, threaten your life, threaten you, and that will be fine because as long as he does that, he'll win the day. That's the precedent they're setting here in Arizona. I won't allow that. When I
don't think many of us would.
You know, when I decided to move to Arizona, this became my country. And for lack of a better term, I still somewhat semblance follow that old code. And if I allow this to happen, I don't allow this to happen just to myself. I allow it to happen to every single Arizonan out there, period. I can't allow that to happen.
I think we have one more caller, actually. Yeah, Pat in Fort Worth. We can get him in there.
Yes, Pat.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Pat.
Hi. The governor of Arizona gave people rental.
It's not relevant in my case because the landlord knew that and he switched his tactics to be not monetary. So it doesn't matter.
Not monetary. Okay. Well, they say that if people are still having trouble, they could contact them and they have millions of dollars of rental assistance stuff ready to help.
No, you're not understanding. I gotta move on. I gotta get some information at the end. Pat, listen to this, what I'm about to say. All right. This issue of COVID is about money, right? If you are in non-payment, if you failed to pay, and if that's the only complaint they have against you, then you're covered by COVID. If this is an issue of non-compliance, you can't just, and I understand this, you can't just inadvertently just, you know, start disturbing your neighbors and punching holes in your walls and expect that the moratorium is going to protect you, right? So he made this happened as this was breaking. He learned that the monetary claims were going to be given a stay, and that so he dogpiled a bunch of lies of everything but not monetary issues onto the case to make this not about COVID. Deliberately defined the president's executive order and the governor's executive order and creating fabricated evidence to prevent me from being able to use COVID. Because guess what? I lost my job because of this idiot. Because they come in two times a week to show the house, and we had it all arranged with them. It was my days off. And not on days of my medical appointments. And they just kept pushing, making these appointments on my days off. So I ended up losing my job. And my medical appointments, I had to stop going to because they were claiming that I was obstructing the sale of the property by telling them, well, I'm not going to be there this day. You're going to have to come this day. Well, they're telling me that I'm trying to prevent them from selling the place. I had a doctor's appointment. I'm disabled. I could prove it. I had to stop going to the doctor. The way this has affected me, I would not be in the poor state of health that I'm in right now had all of this not happened. And I finally said no to that. I said, you know what? Tell you what. Nobody comes here again until we have a conference call so that I can get all of this out on the record to all of you so you understand where I come from. Guess what they wouldn't do? You know where I got that? I went to the Real Estate Commission of Arizona's website to see what can I do here? They suggested that I have a conference call because that's the most successful method of conflict resolution. That is the only thing that I demanded. The unreasonable Tom demanded that we have a conference call to all get on the same page because one went back to the other. The real estate agent told, long story short, the owner said to the real estate agent, go inspect the air conditioner. She doesn't have a license to inspect. She doesn't have a license to do any such thing. She ended up lying because she never came and did that, telling him it worked. That's where this all went downhill. If they had gotten on a conference call, this all would have been solved. RTRTruthMedia.com. Go and click smash that PayPal if you want to support. And I'll see if I can get some people out here. TomLacavera@gmail.com. If you have to go in the back end. If I don't hear from you guys again, I love y'all. I'm going to defend my rights and yours. That's it.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.